I'm going to interrupt you for one sec. This is about on air as it gets. My cat just peed in the carpet. So I'm going to pause this. Like, that's why I was looking back. I'm like, what is she doing? And yeah, no, she did. So I'm gonna end this. I'm going to wash that, and I'm going to call you right back.
Fair enough, buddy.
Okay. All right. Okay, bye.
Welcome everyone to Mitts and Twigs Summer Edition. I am your host, Mitts, dying in the hellscape that is Vancouver right now. It is so hot. With me, as always, the indomitable Twigs. Oh man, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm hiding in a basement right now, so the cool air is surrounding me. But if I go upstairs, shirt's coming off, and it's just sweat and buckets. It's don't know why I do this to myself every summer, and I tell myself, "Yeah, I'm gonna get AC. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna, you know, take the plunge. You know, fork out some dollars. Never do it. It's the Dutch in me. It's the cheapness. That's what it is.
And then we suffer. It's tough.
Yeah."
That's tough. AC is not totally an option. Being an apartment dweller, thought about getting one of those little home units, but no dice. So everybody that is watching at home is just going to have to deal with my sheen right now.
Looks good.
My nice glow. Having the big beard probably doesn't help with the heat, but it doesn't hurt. I don't know.
Like what a beard. Like, let's just take a moment, and this will be on YouTube. Like, let's just take a moment and say, wow, we haven't seen you in 3 weeks, and this takes me 3 weeks to grow. Just this stash, and you appear with this majestic full beard. Like, it's got to be the East Coast, man, because Alberta boy ain't got it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a summer wedding coming up in a couple of weeks, so I got to grow it out so I can get a real nice sculpt for the photos, you know? So got to give them something to work with.
Nice. So,
we'll see. Oh baby, it's been a bit. I haven't been on here for a little while, gang. Appreciate, you know, our man Twigs here has hosted a few live events and keeping the brand alive. You've been mittless for a while, so I do apologize for that. But we are here today. We're here to talk hockey. There's so much hockey to talk. Forgive us if we don't get into some of the more scandalous, upsetting headlines. It's been a little bit. There's enough hockey news that we need to cover the on the ice action. We'll probably have a rant filled very upset episode coming up in the pipeline, so if you love those, look forward to that. If not, we'll put a trigger warning on it. You can skip over that app. But today we are going to focus on hockey and the carousel of coaching and trades and players and hopes and dreams, which I think leads us perfectly into Twigs. How are you feeling about your team?
This is an off season from hell, man. Like, this is, I go in waves. Like, I go, no, this is fine. And everything surrounds me, like that meme, like everything's burning around me. And next year is going to be like total chaos. And then I get like excitement because like we got our first like French Canadian superstar, which is like pretty cool because like Calgary hasn't had many of those. So I think that's awesome. Even though the disrespect you lay on Jonathan Huberdeau's feet from Mitts is disgusting and not appreciated for our now fellow Calgary Flames star. So it's like a roller coaster. I think if you're gonna say any team out of this like offseason has had the most drastic change, it's probably Calgary. I think anytime you lose 100 point players in a single offseason in the span of 10 days is impressive, yeah, to say the least. And for one of them to walk away for nothing, that's a huge, huge hit in the roster. Like, again, I'm not like, I was upset. I was sad. I think I went and like, I won't even lie. Like Johnny, like, told Brad, and I watched the press conference, and I went and shot the puck for like a half an hour by myself. I'm like, I can't deal with this right now, right? Like, it's starting to like change. And then you had the whole rebuild it, tear it down, go for Bedard. And I was getting excited for that, knowing that Matthew Tkachuk also told the Flames, like, hey, I want out, which to me is like still to this day, and I wonder what your opinion is probably the greatest leverage play by an RFA ever in the NHL history, to like not take the 8-year deal Calgary offered him coming out of his entry, only to take a 3-year deal, knowing that will push him to like 1 year away from UFA to basically sign anywhere he wants. Mm-hmm. You don't see UFAs do that. You're like, look at Pierre-Luc Dubois right now. He's botching it completely. Like, it's not the same. Like, Matthew Tkachuk knew the plan, knew what he wanted to do. And I don't think anybody in Flames land or Cowtown took that as a surprise. It's been rumored for his whole time in Calgary that he's not going to stay there a long time. Big Walt, he didn't stay in one place either. He hopped around all over the place. And the only like different one is Brady Tkachuk. So clearly the Calgary Flames drafted the wrong brother. But yeah, what did you think on that, on the RFA and the leverage and putting the Flames in that position?
Well, I share in your heartbreak because all season long, as a Blues fan, we've been expecting Matthew to come home, hoping, dreaming. And it really felt like it was setting up in that manner. And I think that obviously there was a lot of really funny and some insane, you know, fan mock trades that were going out there. And I remember we talked about this and, I engaged with people online about it and just trying to keep things in perspective in terms of what a trade would look like. And as soon as Tkachuk kind of made it known, as soon as it was not just a rumored thought out there, to me, it became pretty obvious that he probably wouldn't end up on the Blues, because the Blues just didn't have the only way the Blues could have made that trade happen is if there were no other offers, basically, because Blues needed to move caps to bring him over. Even if it was on a 1-year deal, like there was no cap space. Blues don't have that. If they would have had to either like empty the cupboard or gut their roster, and Tkachuk is an amazing player, but for a team that's kind of built to challenge this year, it would have put them in an awkward position. Now, you know, luckily for Matthew and luckily for Calgary, Florida's general manager continues to just act like his pants are on fire, and maybe they are, I don't know, but they got a great deal. They got a really great package in back in place. Good star power just to kind of, you know, really help soften the blow. And if you can resign long-term either one of those fellows, then that's great. Apparently, as much as I made fun of the prospect, and I'm blanking on his name right now, apparently he does have some hype around him becoming a pretty solid NHL player. So that's pretty good, considering, you know, you weren't going to be able to keep Tkachuk. And I think that was an amazing play. And I respect a lot the way that Matthew Tkachuk handled it the whole way around. I think a lot of fans were, especially Flames fans, were kind of upset about how even recently he said that he wanted to resign. He wanted to stay in Calgary. And they felt kind of, you know, misled by that. But that's what you really need. If he had been more vocal about the fact that he wanted to leave, then Calgary would have been in a worse position. So him being openly saying, like, I want to stay in Calgary, I'm open to staying in Calgary, helps keep the price tag high on that trade. It was at this point that Tyler's cat peed on his carpet. So let's just enjoy this quick intermission. And now back to a regular episode. Cat pee aside, Matt Tkachuk, I guess that was the cat's feelings on the Matthew Tkachuk drama as well. But yeah, I think there's a lot of sad people. I think he handled it in a way that gave the Flames the best opportunity to get max value. At least it appears from you know, outside of view. And hey, Florida doesn't have a long-term future, but they've got Barkov long-term now, and they've got Tkachuk long-term now. So now all they have to do is figure out how to fill in all those other spots long-term without any draft picks or prospects.
It's crazy. I read a thing about like the most time, like the Panthers President's Trophy winner. They're like, and how many points did they have this year? I don't know, but like they're one of five teams and they're the only one that didn't win the Stanley Cup. But most of the time when you're like that dominant, you don't blow up like everything that you've just built, right? They just spent a ton at the trade deadline. They were the winners at the trade deadline of spending. They went and got Claude Giroux, Ben Chiarot. Who else did they get? There's a couple other pieces. Like they in the offseason, Sam Reinhart, Brandon Montour, they re-signed. Like they have been aggressive in building this team. And now that you look at it, they potentially don't have a first round pick till 2026. Their prospect pool is not great. They do have some like nice core pieces at like good ages, 26 for Barkov, 24 for Tkachuk, Reinhart's 26, Sam Bennett's 26, Carter Verhaeghe is 26, Duclair's 26. Like they're, and Lundell, who's coming up, is only 20. So their core of what they're trying to build is there. The only thing is, and this is going to maybe sound as a bitter Flames fan, I don't know if you can make the argument that Tkachuk is a better man. Barkov and Huberdeau had some chemistry. Like, and even though Huberdeau played the second line most this year and still put up 115 points, like that was their MVP, was Huberdeau this year. He was second in the league in scoring. And I find it wild, and I get it. He has 1 year left until he's a UFA, and Calgary's about to do the same scenario as they did with Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau in a year's time. I just have a hard time thinking that he's an upgrade on Matthew Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk, he says all the right things. He's always done it. Ever since he's been drafted, he's like, no, this is the team that I wanted to be drafted by was the Calgary Flames. No, he knew how to win people over. He's a savvy businessman, right? He said that at the Florida press conference. He's like, I hate Edmonton, but I hate Tampa more now. Edmonton just owned you for 6 years. Like, just owned you. And I get it. He's selling tickets and he's selling jerseys and he's doing all that. He's being the guy. But he had zero success. And the only thing that I take away from all these Matthew Tkachuk press conferences, I listened to his missing curfew one. I listened to all the NHL on TNT or whatever those ones were, right? And SportsCenter and the things he boasted, like in his press conference, he's acting like the savior. This team just won the President's Trophy. Like they were the best team in hockey in the regular season. But like this team, he's not saving anything. They're already like really good. And they kind of got worse. Like it or not, Mackenzie Weegar is a star defenseman and he plays in Florida. That's why nobody really knows about him. But look at his analytics, look at his points, all that stuff. He is a stud. Defensive, like they got Aaron Ekblad and then nobody. Is Sergei Bobrovsky going to be Sergei Bobrovsky from 2 years ago or last year? Right? Like, is this team better now that they've done this trade? No, I just can't make that argument. Like Matthew Tkachuk is sweet. I love Matthew Tkachuk. Wanted the Flames to sign him for a long, long time. Give him the C, give him all those things. He turned it all down. But I just don't think this team is better than where they were last season. Like think about it. They lost Claude Giroux, Ben Chiarot, Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, a bunch of first round picks, some prospects. Like and they gained Matthew Tkachuk. And Paul Maurice, who hates Matthew Tkachuk. I don't know if you guys remember the bubble when Matthew Tkachuk hurt Mark Scheifele and how dirty of a player Matthew Tkachuk was and all this. I don't know. It was a blockbuster, an NBA-style blockbuster, and the NHL needs more of it. We don't have any of these, like, star for star. And when they do happen, they're celebrated for years. So first sign and trade, all that stuff. So good on the Calgary Flames and being put in a tough situation. And I guess good on Florida for knowing what they wanted and knowing what they could. They were the only team that was willing to spend. So,
yeah. I guess, Florida's an interesting one because I think, let's say, 2 months into the season last year versus now, it's to me is such a different situation. Got a new coach coming in. The future is, like I said, the immediate future looks great. They've got some like talent at a great age, and they've got them locked up. But, yeah, it feels like they're really playing with fire. No puns intended there. But They've got some great top end talent, but they're running low on prospects. They're running low on picks, and so they've got to be supremely confident that they can make it work based on what they have in there, because they don't really have the ability to do much else if this doesn't work. And it did seem as though they were looking to or open to getting away from Bobrovsky a little bit, because he is such a big cap hit. But I mean, I don't see how you can. I don't think I nobody can take that cap on. And the only teams that would be most likely be willing to would need to get a little bit of a sweetener in there at the same time. And you spent all your sweeteners, your round first round picks and some seconds and some thirds. So it'll be interesting. I think if I'm a Florida fan, I'm probably pretty excited about the big swing. As much as, you know, Hubie and Uyghur are were stars for them. Like, that's exciting. And that's it, when your team is always out there and in the mix, it can be a pretty exciting and enjoyable fan experience. We'll just see if that translates onto the ice and into any greater success, because I'm not sure it will. Maybe this season will be all right, but.
Yeah, we talk about Toronto. We talk about Edmonton, about having like three really expensive players. Florida's right there. They got Barkov making 10, Bob making 10, and Tkachuk making 9.5.
Yeah.
Like $30 million of your cap is spent on three players. And I love Matthew Tkachuk. And I like it. Hey, Flames, I want, give him 11. I don't care. Like all that stuff. But I wouldn't want to be spending 10 on a goalie if I'm spending 10 on Tkachuk and Barkov too.
Yeah. Well, especially in a world where I think Colorado kind of showed that. No disrespect to Darcy Kemper, and certainly no disrespect on the incoming Gorgiev there. But I think they really showed is that you don't need to have one of those top three goaltenders. There's that a lot of people like to use that as an excuse on why their team can't get over the hump. Yeah. It's a favorite whipping post for anybody whose team didn't get there. But it's just not necessary if you have a good team in front of them and they play sound defense. That's really more important, is if you can put a good solid team in front of them that everybody plays their assignment and does their job, then the talent, the raw talent level that you need in between the pipes is much less so. Doesn't hurt to have Vasilevskiy or back there or something like that, but I think that they've shown that it's really more about what you're doing as a team as a whole. And yeah, I think that Colorado somehow, in a little bit of ways, I can't believe how they've been able to pull off their offseason so far, that they won the cup. They're bringing back most of their team. At time of recording, Kadri hasn't signed anywhere yet, so it's unlikely he'll be going back to there, because it would have to be pretty low salary. And after the season he's had, he could probably get a lot more in going somewhere else. But most of their roster came back. They still have Frank, who's back there, Francois, back there as a solid 1B, and they got Gorgiev for next to nothing and at a dirt cheap rate. It blows me away how little that they are paying him and how little they paid to get him. And I mean, by all accounts, like, this guy at the very least should be a very solid 1A and possibly a top 15 goaltender in the league moving forward. And it's, damn you, Colorado, for somehow having such a great season, winning the Stanley Cup, and walking what looks like you're going to walk into this upcoming season arguably better, fresher, and ready to run it back. So
I just look at Colorado and you look at Tampa, and they're built from the back out, right? Like, Vasilevskiy's a one of a kind, right? Like, those players don't come around that often, and so you can't really make that argument like, oh, everybody needs that, because there aren't any of that, right? Like, there's a few really good ones, like Igor is probably going to be there, Vasi's there, but really, other than that, those are the top two. Like, Markstrom's not even close, like, and he was in the Vezina running. Like, Hellebuck used to be there, he's not in the running, right? Like, they're very few and far between. But that back end Colorado has, it's like Kale McCarr, Samuel Girard, Devon Taves, Bowen Byram, like that is insane. Not even like they had the two Jack, like they had the two Jack Johnsons, right? Jack and Eric, this Stanley Cup run. Like this is, that's a decor. And then you look at Florida's and it's like Aaron Ekblad and then nobody. Yeah. Like Gustav Forsling and Gudas, right? Like if that's what you're running with your second and first pairing, you're going to lose. Right, Tampa's got Victor Hedman. They had Ryan McDonough for years. Miguel Sergachev, who just got paid $8 million for 8 years. Like, it's insane for him. Like, I don't know. I think it's been like in the pudding throughout NHL history. You have to have a really good decor. You have. Yeah. And now it's like transitioning D to offense. Like, Cale Makar's offensive. Bowen Byram's offensive. Victor Hedman's offensive. Sergachev's offensive, like they're all offensive demon that move the puck and transition really well. And Florida just got rid of their best, second best one. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I love the big splash, but you were right there. So, yeah, it's not fair that Colorado, well, you know what? Colorado sucked for a lot of years. It is fair. And they lost the lottery and had to settle for freaking Cale Makar. How much does that suck, eh? But yeah, I want to touch on the Nazem Kadri thing before we go too far from Colorado. Is he doing himself any justice here? Like, we just saw what happened with John Klingberg, and like that man overplayed his hand. Like, he's turning 30 and he just signed a 1-year deal, $7 million. Jeff Merrick reported that Dallas Stars offered him an 8-year deal at 7.6 like per year.
Wow.
Like, the guy just is. The longer you wait, there's no cap space. There's zero cap space. Like, look at the NHL. No teams have any other than Anaheim. Detroit has some, but how much do they want to commit? Like, it just doesn't make sense for Detroit. It just, I don't know. It just doesn't. But yeah, like, is he just going to go back to Colorado for $4 million per year and just win another cup? Is that what he's going to do?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm sure Colorado would love it, and it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. For him, I mean, $4 million. But yeah, I really feel like I can understand and see the strategy of patience. But if he doesn't sign for, if when Kadri signs, it's not for like $6 million plus for a couple of years at least, and it's not on a competing team, it's going to be really hard to look at that as anything other than settling.
Yeah.
From his perspective to me, because yeah, this is a guy that came off like a monster season, best of his career. And we're guessing obviously, but presumably there were some big money contracts available right away. But like you said, a lot of guys have been signed now. A lot of places have run out of cap space, and a lot of the teams that would have the cap space to give him some money, probably not going to be competitive next year, or at least not Stanley Cup contender. And yeah, it's got to be one of those situations where I really hope for his sake and for his agent's sake, that they feel good about what they're doing and that they know what the situation is. Because yeah, the longer this goes on, he really feels like the more likely he is to either take a hit on the salary or end up playing for a team that's, you know, he's really not thrilled to be on.
Yeah, I love the balls, right? Like, it takes balls to like wait, right? Like, Johnny Gaudreau clearly didn't want to go later than day one, right? He signed late day one, and he didn't want to lose that cap hit, right? But you look at Jake Gardner, did the same thing, settled with Carolina, did not work out for him, thought the market was bigger for him. He settled. Where is he now? John Klingberg, the most recent one, settled, fired his agent, got a one-year deal in Anaheim, where that team clearly doesn't want to play defense. They just want to like try to score as many goals as possible. Like, it's going to be wild, wild west in Anaheim. It's going to be fun to watch, but there's still Sonny Milano out there who's really intriguing, and Nazem Kadri and Phil Kessel. But I just think Nazem, unless he's signed with New York, like, that's totally a Lou Lamoriello thing to do. Like, they did it last year with Zach Parise. Yeah, Zach's still out there, but not really. He signed a deal back in July and just waited till September to announce it. So I don't know. It's gonna be interesting for him because he did. Usually, when you come off a career year, this is your bank, right? And let's hope he makes it because he deserves it. But
yeah,
he's going back to Colorado. I have a feeling. Like, I don't know why you'd want to leave that.
Yeah, but that's it. Colorado is up against it. I don't know. I think at this point, it's kind of a situation maybe akin to David Perron in St. Louis, where like the team would love to have him back, but doesn't feel like they can present any kind of a competitive offer. I know some Blues fans were not to hijack it, but I know some Blues fans were a little upset because Perron ended up signing for probably a less than $1 million more than it we you know projected that was available to sign him. But I think that, you know, part of that played into, you know, the Blues thought they had a better chance of getting Tkachuk and just kind of looking at some of the other things that they do need. And David Perron is, you know, excellent hockey player and has had wonderful, wonderful seasons with the Blues. But yeah, I think the Blues had to, I never expected them to re-sign David Perron. Given he had a great season, but given his age, given the cap stresses that they're under, given the fact that the defense is probably not the ideal group of players for the type of hockey they're trying to play. I think old Dougie did get a little overexcited bringing in Falk and Krug for big money. One or the other probably would have been better, but not both. But yeah, to get back onto it, like you're looking at these teams, and if I'm Kadri, like the teams right now that still have money to give a decent salary are teams like, I mean, the Sens could make it work, the Devils, the Flames, the Wings, the Islanders, Stars, Ducks. I'm leaving a couple teams off of there because they're obviously like in rebuild mode, and he said he wants to be competitive, so I don't think he's going to go play at ASU for $12 million. So, and none of those teams are contenders right now, and I don't think you can say adding him to any of those teams makes them contenders. And a lot of those teams already have on one and two center.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's going to be really tough on him. I still hope that, he gets a contract that he likes, that he gets recognized, because the guy has had an excellent career. He really has.
Yeah.
And he's just coming off a Stanley Cup win. Yeah. I think it's kind of a bummer because I would love for his story at this point to take a different turn, but now it really feels like he either should have taken a team-friendly deal, kept it, run it back in Colorado, and just added a couple of cups to his resume and to his experience, or at least a better opportunity, or he should have taken the opportunity, or should still take the opportunity right now, to just cash in big and make some like generational wealth money now. And understand that you've accomplished a lot of your professional goals. Not saying you can't do it again, but yeah, sign somewhere for like 4 years at $10 or $11 million, and let the hockey team's results be whatever they are.
There's no way he gets over seven. I just can't see it.
No, I mean it would be really difficult to justify, but I mean a team like Arizona, for example, like obviously nobody expects him to be going there, but if Arizona wanted to throw a ton of money at him, make something exciting, give the team an identity, like that's it. They're going to sell some jerseys, get some butts in the seats. He's a hard, gritty player. And so I could see that really playing well in terms of trying to get some interesting and some excitement in that cute little one bedroom apartment they're going to be playing hockey in.
Yeah, it is. The Nazem Kadri situation is fascinating still. The Calgary Flames offseason has been fascinating. The Columbus, Ohio, like, oh, we're not rebuilding anymore, we're going to go spend $10 million on Johnny Gaudreau, is fascinating. But do you know what else is really fascinating? This is like, I thought it was tough in Flames land, like being a fan, to be a Philadelphia Flyer fan has got to be the hardest thing. Like, how can you be a fan of this team? Mm-hmm. Like, you have a player, and we're going back, and I'm not trying to circle back to the Flames. I just think this is like the most intriguing storyline, that you have a player that's made it known to you that he wants to sign with the Philadelphia Flyers, and you go, nah. Not any player. A player who just put up 115 points, his best friends on the Philadelphia Flyers, and they're like, we're not even going to make an offer. Because they didn't want to give up James Van Riemsdyk. Like, it just...
I don't know that. They didn't want to give up. They didn't like the price of... Like, they could have. There were offers out there. People would have taken him, but they would have had to sweeten the deal a little bit because he's overpaid for what he produces right now.
But you know what? You go, you bring in John Tortorella. Your owner tells your GM, who probably is the worst GM in the NHL, Chuck Fletcher. Like, this guy is dog water. Like, awful. Yeah. Hey, you have a blank check. Spend whatever you need. And they go out and get Tony DeAngelo. And who else did they get? They got a couple big, like, brute guys. Like, they're going to, like, fortifying checkers. And it's like, what the frick? You're lacking scoring. You just lost Claude Giroux. Like, you're lacking scoring. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to, like, supplement that with Tony DeAngelo? He fits right in Philadelphia perfectly there, by the way. I don't want to say anything one way, but... perfectly there.
Right now, Philadelphia is projected to be over the cap, which is glorious considering they probably, by all rights, have no hope of even challenging for a wild card spot. Yeah, I feel like if you're a Philadelphia Flyers fan, you're either over the age of 50 or you are just stuck in like that misery state of hockey fandom and sport fandom all the time, where your fandom is almost tied to the fact that they're losers and you're cheering for them almost like as a badge of honor. You know, I understand that. I've been a Detroit Lions fan in the NFL for my entire adult life, so I understand tying yourself to a loser franchise. It doesn't feel good. And yeah, I'm so sick of John Tortorella. I don't want to see any more of John Tortorella, least of all on a struggling team where he's constantly going to be having to answer questions about why your team is a big old sack of crap. And then we're going to get to see more of this 50-year-old immature man who can't communicate well, despite the fact that it's a big part of his job.
Who's going to score? Kevin Hayes is going to score.
Every team that plays against them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, could you imagine you go out last offseason, you spend like a king's ransom for Rasmus Ristolainen, like a king's ransom to Buffalo, like more than Jack Eichel got like traded for. Rasmus made more, like that return was better than Jack Eichel's return. And then this offseason, you can like have a player that all you have to do is move one first round pick that you're clearly in win now mode. You've told your fan base, you're not rebuilding. You've told them that. To get Johnny Gaudreau, who would actually score. Like, I don't know if this is John Tortorella being like, I don't want a small player. Like, I don't know if that's what it is. Like, it totally could be. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I thought Panarin did really well under him. Panarin's like almost an identical player to Johnny Gaudreau. Johnny Gaudreau has a better points per game and is a better distributor, puck distributor. It just does not like make sense to me. Like, Travis Konecki, cool. He was good 3 years ago. Like, mm-hmm.
James, I feel like it's. I think it's part of the Philly identity as well. I think it's an unfortunately, like, terrible mix of Torts and how he looks at the game and what he and his ridiculous outdated ideas and what Philadelphia looks at themselves and thinks that they have to do this thing and that if they're not playing bruising, bullying hockey, then they're, I don't know what they think they have to do that, but like it hasn't been successful for them in decades. And even when the Blues won the Cup and they were a very physical, smothering team and they were big, they still played it with a high level of skill and like that counterpunch. And like, it wasn't just beating guys up. It wasn't just leaning on them. It was also talent. And yeah, I don't know. Philadelphia stinks. I don't know what else to say. They're going to stink for the near future, probably the long-term future. You touched on them briefly, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on them. Columbus.
Yes. Ohio.
I feel like I've gone on a little bit of an up and down on these guys. Are they – I mean, they're a playoff contender? Like they're going to be playing for a playoff spot, but are they like a contender? I'm looking at they did okay last year. They've got some talent. They obviously got Gaudreau, and kind of exciting to think about Johnny and Line A playing in and around each other. But are they just that? Are they like a playoff team, but they'll never make it out of the second round with what they have right now?
And I don't even know if they're a playoff team. And I actually was shocked that they traded Bjorkstrand. I thought like that player is a player you want to build around as well. They did really well in one signing, the Johnny Gaudreau signing. They got him under like market value, under $10 million, which is solid. Not by much, but they did. But then they overpay Erik Gudbranson, who played like, clearly Columbus wants to be the Calgary Flames because they signed two of them. But Erik Gudbranson to a 4x4, which is horrendous, like awful. I love Erik Gudbranson as a third D pairing. Like he was great playing like anywhere from 12 to 16 minutes a game. He was fantastic. I would not want that man in my top four. Like I just wouldn't. Like he's proven like over his career, he's just not built for that. He's a great player. And when his role is like really like good and developed around him, he's successful. He showed last year, career year. But I just look at this team and Jack Roslovec is a center. Boone Jenner is a winger center. And then they have Cole Sillinger, who's going to be a stud. And they have Kent Johnson. Like they got a lot of young guys. Like they're probably 1-2 years away, but that Patrick Laine, Johnny Gaudreau connection next year is going to be amazing. Like it's going like Patrick Laine's never played with a player like Johnny Gaudreau. And he struggled 5-on-5 recently scoring Patrick Laine. You know who's really good at 5-on-5? Like really good? Johnny Gaudreau. Johnny Gaudreau is really good at 5-on-5. So if this can translate anyway, it's going to be a great win for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think they got an L in Gudbranson signing and an L in the Bjorkstrand signing because Bjorkstrand alone is a better player than Nyquist and a couple other guys they probably could have moved.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I think the Johnny signing was kind of exciting and Line A, and they got kind of hyped up for a bit there. And then I just really had to look at the team and I thought, they're there in terms of, you know, I feel like they will be a playoff team, but unless they really surprise me, I don't see them being like an actual contender this year. And I'm not so sure about next year, but maybe that's just, I mean, who's been paying attention to Columbus at all the last few years and their development? So it could just be a little bit of that. I'm on the West Coast, hard to see what's going on there if it's not happening at the highest level. So yeah, we'll see.
Yarmo
on the other side of that
is an assassin, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, think about it. 2018, he lost Duchesne, Bobrovsky, Panarin. He was like, we're not going to rebuild. We're going to just retool. We're going to get some good draft picks. They have Kent Johnson, who's going to be a star. Cole Sillinger, who was one of the only few rookies that got drafted last year, played a full NHL season. He's going to be a stud. They just picked up Johnny Gaudreau for free. Right? Like didn't give anything. They're just like, oh, he wants to be close to home. So Columbus, I guess, is kind of close to home. So Johnny goes there. They signed Zach Werenski to a crazy cap hit, but he's really good. They got Jake Bean from Carolina for nothing. They've got a couple really good goaltenders. Well, Corpus Allo, I guess you can't really say is that great, but like this team is on the up. Like give it 2 years and they're going to be contenders. As long as that Johnny sustains like his ability to play when he's over 30, which he should be, he never gets hit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that team's going to be fun.
I guess I'd say conversely, a team that is not on the bubble, to me, it has to be, they got to be a kind of a Stanley Cup or bust, Edmonton Oilers. What they've been able to do, being able to bring back Kane, who regardless how you feel about him as a human being, was producing wonderfully with those guys, not surprising. Excellent, excellent hockey player. Yeah. They bring in Jack Campbell to play goal, so they finally have what seems like talent in between the pipes in their prime. Yeah. You know, RIP Mike Smith, you know, GOAT, but he's pretty old. Man, they Other than the fact that they're still paying James Neal almost $2 million a year for the next couple of years, everything for me, for them, trends to, barring anything wild happening, they're going to be in the, they'll be in the conference finals at least, if not in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's hard to not like. You didn't even say it. I think the Brett Kulak deal is probably one of the best signings in free agency. Like top 4D, and Gabranson got $4 million, and Kulak only got 2.7. Like it makes no sense. Even Zadorov got less than Gabranson, but Kulak is better than both those players. There was a couple other D that went like Letty got re-signed. What was he, 4 mil, right?
Think so about that, yeah.
Yeah, like Kulak had a hell of a postseason too. This team is really good. I understand why. We're never mind. I'm not gonna get into it. I'm gonna get into the owner and the Kane stuff, but I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna avoid any hot, like rant, piece of garbage. In they're good. He's a good player. He's an elite finisher playing with Connor McDavid, who can skate really well. You really don't find that often with a power forward that can like skate that well and finish at that level. And to me, like he took a home team, a hometown discount. Like he's only making, what is it? Yeah, 5.1. Like that's
Yeah.
solid. Kane, he's tied himself to Connor McDavid. So when Connor McDavid's contract up, so is Evander Kane. So they're Stanley Cup or bust. Like it's hard to be like, ah, man, I think they make the Stanley Cup finals next year. I really do. I think this team is built to win now. Ken Holland took a beating from me and everybody else and the
Oh,
sports
yeah.
media for how he was running his team. He's done some nice tidy business other than not Seth Jones, that one's just as bad. The Darnell Nurse contract, everything's been solid. Like Jack
Yeah.
Campbell, is that a good cap hit? Brett Kulak, great cap hit. You might hate Tyson Barrie, but at 4.5, that's good. The one thing I don't understand is them wanting to trade Jesse Puljujärvi. Like that still doesn't make sense to me. I think he's a solid player and fits well in your second line or even third line. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, home team discount, 5-1. Zach Hyman, I hated that signing. I was like, that's crazy that that guy got that. Look at what he did in the playoffs. He was
Yeah.
a huge difference maker. He was just as good as Evander Kane and Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Those four players alone took him really, really far. And hopefully Jack Campbell doesn't fall apart in an elimination game like he did in Toronto all those years. But yeah, so I don't know. It's good.
Think the only shoe left to drop for them is that, that whole Puljujärvi thing. They were trying to trade him because A, they thought they would be able to get a great return, which no one was buying it. And two, they were, the rumor was that they preferred Kyler Yamamoto, who's still currently unsigned. And yeah, right now they're just about 3 million, so it's 2.93 projected to be over the cap. They signed Puljujärvi to a 1 year, $3 million deal. As I previously mentioned, they're still paying James Neal a mil, or sorry, 1.9. And was it yeah, saying so they've got somebody else. Oh yeah, they're retaining a little bit for Milan, Andrei Sekera. They're I
They do
don't
have
think any of that takes
6 million coming off the books.
do they,
Right
is it?
now, Mike Smith and Klefbom's cap hit is like included in that.
Oh, okay.
When the regular season starts, that will like be like a -6 mil. So
Gotcha.
they have roughly like $3 million to work with in
Yeah.
cash to sign Yamamoto and Ryan McLeod, which is they'll get it done. Like
Yeah.
Yamamoto is a solid player. He should be making over $3 million easily. So we'll
Yeah.
see.
Yeah. That's it. I think that, oh, it'd be interesting. The top six is really, really busy and full for them now. I don't think that even if, I guess my point was going to be that I don't think that that cap potential cap issue was going to tank their season, but they would still have to figure something out. But they've got that piece in place, and it'll
I
all
still
work
think
out for them.
Puljujärvi gets moved because I still think you want a little bit of wiggle room, right? And I think if you move Puljujärvi and you sign Yamamoto, he's probably gonna get 4 mil, roughly, right? And that gives you $2 million to work with, roughly, or a million, because it depends on what Ryan McLeod, who was a solid third line center in the playoffs for them as well. I want to stay in the Pacific really quickly before we move on to somebody else. Are you enjoying as much as I am the downfall of the Vegas Golden Knights?
Well, no, because I'm invested in them in fantasy. but yeah, it is, the chickens are coming home to roost, as they say. I look over the team, I look over the roster, and I still think that if everything breaks away, things don't have to go in their favor, but if they don't have anything terrible happen, any wild injuries or trade demands or anything like that, I still think they're a playoff team, and there's a potential for some contending there based on it. But yeah, they're in a rough spot. They're in a rough spot. They arguably have one of their least talented squads projected in the last, since probably their first year.
Yep.
And they've got a lot more questions than they have in the past. They don't have any cap space. They don't have anything in the cupboard. They feel like they're on the cusp of being a cautionary tale, going from an inspirational story to a cautionary tale like that.
Yeah, that William Karlsson deal is horrendous. Like, it's horrendous. Like, it's causing a lot of problems. This is, I listened to Alan Walsh. He does a podcast with Adam Wild, and I was listening to like how he was talking about how the cap mismanagement is terrible in Vegas. And it is, it's horrific. Like, for years, they were like, just go get the shiniest toy. It doesn't matter what it costs, all that. Like, basically they gave away Nick Suzuki for free, Max Pacioretty for free. They've got nothing. They have Robin Leonard, who we still don't know who, like, his health condition. Mark Stone had a back problem all last year. Hopefully that like recovers and he's good to go. He's a hell of a player, but there's a lot of concerns and red flags with this team. Their second line is not great anymore. I don't know, man. Like, it just seems like a team that's not, like, kind of going to take a dip this year. If they do make the playoffs, it could either be a wild card or third in the Pacific. I still think Vancouver improved, Edmonton improved, Calgary, I think, took a little hit back, right? I think they improved in defense, but lost in offense. LA is going to be better. Like, they're going to be way better. It's going to be interesting. Pacific's going to be fun because there's a lot of mediocre teams in the Edmonton Oilers. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. Like,
yep.
So I don't know. I enjoy watching Vegas completely fall. And I enjoyed watching Carolina steal Max Pacioretty for nothing. Yep. It's like, oh, that's payback. So
yeah. If anybody's interested, please go back and listen to our old episodes, because you'll hear yours truly stating that Vegas was going to have to move Max Pacioretty. It was the only thing that really made sense for them to put them in a position where they could move forward. Not that it was a desirable thing, but it needed to be done because of his cap hit and yeah. But
like, I would let Riley Smith walk. Like, why move Max Pacioretty to retain Riley Smith? It just, I don't know. That's why I'm not an NHL GM. That's why I'm talking here.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate that they needed another 30-plus overpaid defenseman, so they brought in Shea Weber. Of course, Shea's not going to play. What will be really interesting is how much he's been in contact with people, because by all rights, he probably is essentially retired.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't believe I'm not under the impression that he's actively working back any kind of a schedule, but if he retires, there are significant cap implications in the same way that when Duncan Keith retired, that Chicago's cap took a pretty big hit because of how that all breaks down. So that could get pretty interesting, because I think I assume right now that they've got him for cap relief purposes. But yeah, we'll see. 4 years left at 7 almost eight.
Do you remember when they were signing deals for like 11 years? Like the Kovalchuk, the Shea Weber's was 14 years. That is
insane. Something I want to talk about. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but we on this podcast, we obviously like to brag and gloat, but we're all about accountability. And when we have bad takes, we embrace them because that's half the fun of making these takes. And I would like to personally apologize to Pierre Dorion, who I'm fairly certain that, again, if you wanted to go back and listen to podcasts, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to live in the past. But if you want to back and listen to it, I've no doubt taken many shots at Pierre Dorion as being terrible at his job and just hopeless and laughable and a joke. And after this offseason, I think it's clear he wasn't the issue and that perhaps, in fact, he might be very good at his job. So what Ottawa has done, I think Ottawa, we talked about this at the end of the playoffs and one of our wild predictions, I said Tampa Bay misses the playoffs. You said who takes their place. Now we know it's Ottawa. Ottawa takes their place in the playoffs. So sorry, Tampa, you're still missing. Ottawa is going to be in. Pierre Dorion, hats off to you. Well done. Just an amazing, amazing offseason for them so far.
Well, you know, we killed them on the Erik Karlsson trade. We weren't doing this podcast at the time. That's turned out to be amazing for them. Josh Norris, Brady Kachuk, a couple other pieces, right? Or was it Tim Stutzman? No, it was Brady Kachuk, I'm pretty sure. That's turned out to be amazing. They went and snagged Alex DeBrincat, who's an RFA. Like, so he still has team rights. From Chicago, which I don't understand the rush. They went and they got Cam Talbot, who they moved on from Matt Murray, which is impressive, like to say the least. Like, I'm not saying Cam Talbot's going to be their savior, but like, holy cow. And you want to thank Pierre Dorion. I want to thank those Melnick daughters who are running a tight ship over there. Like, they took over for their father, and they're like, yeah, spend it all. We're going to win. We're going to do this. They got an arena. They now have a team that's on, like, the rise. They have their star captain locked up. Josh Norris, their number one seed, locked up. They added a 40-goal scorer for nothing. Like, bravo, Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, and somehow they also signed Claude Giroux.
Right, I didn't even say Claude Giroux. Like, that's how crazy.
Who saw that happening? Like,
and you know what? Fantasy wise, Claude Giroux is going to be through the roof. That team is stacked. Like, if he's playing with Drake Batherson and Timmy Stutzel, and then on the power play with Brady Kachuk and Josh Norris, oh my gosh! Like,
yeah.
Shoot that into my veins. That team's going to be fun. And
you're playing a lot of games against Montreal, against Buffalo, against Detroit.
He gets to play his brother Matthew a whole bunch in Florida now.
Oh, oh. Baby.
Yeah. That division is going to be fun.
I tell you, whoever has a first overall pick in our redraft league is got to be pretty excited about drafting Claude Giroux.
Ah, I wonder who that could be. Yeah, it's good. And before everybody freaks out, it's a keeper league, so he's not passing on Connor. He doesn't have that hard on for Claude Giroux. It's just like... it's a keeper league, all right? So he's the best available. I had to make sure that was clear.
Claude Giroux, number one, no matter what.
Kale McCarr, nah. Connor McDavid, nah. Claude Giroux, baby. Oh, man. Good job.
Oh, man. I tell you, there's more hockey news probably than we even know what to do with. But I don't know. Let's save something for next episode. Presumably that'll be out next week. But it is summertime. We are living our lives. It's the off season, gang. So you know, for any of you that are, you know, been looking for those episodes each week and haven't had them, we do apologize. Life is busy. Life is important. Got to take care of those things at home. So we've been trying to take care of that and enjoy it and get rested up for what is going to be another big season ahead. Twigs, anything you want to share before we call it a day?
No, we're just getting ready for season two. I'm glad you guys could witness my cat peeing on the carpet today, right during a live episode. So that was memorable. Yeah, it's been great. Off season's been nice. There isn't a lot of hockey other than free agency, but we'll keep coming at you guys. We'll keep swinging away. Sooner or later, we're going to do our way too early predictions. I think we did it last year, didn't we?
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure I won, so that always feels good.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. But no, just thanks for hanging out and chilling out with us and listening, and we appreciate it.
Yep. Yep. Well, everybody at home, please enjoy your off season. You know, enjoy what's going on. Don't forget to take a minute and relax. Whatever you're doing, take some time for you. So with that, for my man Twigs, from here in the Mitt Cave, thank you all very much for listening. Can't wait to see you next time. Peace out.